morning, everyone. Start with the pledge.
Join after me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Yes.
Director Vanderbilt? Director Sarmiento? Director Duane?
Here.
Director Sheldon? Director Wynn? Director Yeo? Director Bilodeau? You have a quorum of your committee.
We have. Please not. The words.
Probably the volume is too loud over there.
Oh. Okay. Christine, you turn down the volume just a bit. Okay, thanks. Okay, are there any items you'd like to be agenda?
There are none.
All right. Visitor participation? Anybody want to speak on an item not on the agenda or on the consent calendar? Okay, we'll move to the consent calendar.
Move approval of items 1 through 15 with the exception of number 9. I have one question.
Okay. Second. All right.
Okay. Director Green?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Yes.
Director Duane?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
The item number 9 is the trash rack system at 5 Coates Rubber Dam. Mm-hmm. My only question is there a way to quantify the amount of trash that we haul off the river, including debris, logs and stuff? Like, it would be a preferable number.
We could probably give a rough estimate. Most of the trash, we have two trash racks, one at each rubber dam, one at Imperial, one at Five Coves. The one at Imperial sees the brunt of the debris flow. Of course, it has to rain, and there has to, normally the debris is generated during a storm when it comes downstream, but I'll have staff look into that and report back.
My point is that I think this is an underappreciated aspect of the district's operations. It provides a significant public benefit, especially to those downstream users, and perhaps we ought to publicize it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Move approval of item number 9.
Second.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Yes.
Director Duane?
Aye.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Moving on to the update on the North Central Orange County Integrated Bridge and Water Management Plan.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. We're very fortunate this morning to have Ms. Amanda Carr, who works for the County of Orange as its Deputy Director of Environmental Resources. I hope I got that right, Amanda. And she is going to give us a presentation this morning on the OC plan and the Integrated Regional Water Management in Orange County. And the committee may recall that the district, in coordination with the Sanitation District, OCSD, and the county, are looking at developing its own IRWM plan. And the county is taking the lead on this, so we asked Amanda to come here this morning and give an update to the committee. Amanda.
Good morning. Thank
Welcome.
You. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with all of the directors of the Water District. As Mike mentioned, we've been working with OCWD and the Orange County Sanitation District to update the Integrated Regional Watershed Management Plan for the north and central portions of Orange County. Orange County is split into two IRWM funding regions, roughly at El Toro Road. South of El Toro Road is in the San Diego funding region, and we have an IRWM plan for South Orange County. And then historically, we had two plans, one for Central Orange County, which focused on Newport Bay, and then one for North Orange County. As we've been moving forward in NPDES permitting and watershed focus for stormwater quality, really it became clear that all of the stakeholders need to work together in sort of the northern half of the county. The IRWM funding split also coincides with our NPDES permitting split with the San Diego Regional Water Quality Control Board and the Santa Ana Regional Water Quality Control Board. So we moved forward in integrating our north and central plans into a single plan to bring it up to date with the current DWR requirements for the IRWM funding program. So I just wanted to give a little update on where we are with the current adoption status. So the plan was adopted by your board on April 18th and the Sanitation District on June 27th and is scheduled to go before the Board of Supervisors on September 11th. Once those three agencies have approved the plan, it will be a fully approved IRWM plan. We, as you know, we are currently under the OWOW IRWM plan, which is managed by SAPA. On July 13th, we sent a joint letter from the Water District, the Sanitation District, and the county requesting that SAPA recognize our Orange County IRWM plan within their currently ongoing update to their OWOW plan and integrate it as a separate chapter. Other sort of supporting plans to the OWOW plan have been adopted as appendices, and we did not feel that that was sufficient recognition of the planning and the efforts that have gone into our IRWM plan. So our asks in the July 13th letter was to incorporate the OC plan as a separate chapter within OWOW, that Orange County projects be evaluated through that chapter, using the scoring and the weighting that our stakeholders have developed and the goals and objectives for IRWM planning that have been quantified in the OC plan. And additionally, we asked for a specific allocation of the available grant funds. We asked for a 38% share of the grant funds available through OWOW. We requested that the steering committee take action on our request by September 27th, and we've been sort of wargaming a couple of potential outcomes. To give a little bit of background, we based our funding request on the San Diego region funding area formula, which itself was based on the Prop 84 state level funding formula, which took into account area, land area, and population. Land area at 27% and population 37%. So we calculated, similar to the San Diego region that has Orange County, San Diego County, and Riverside County within it, and they split their funding through this population, we have suggested to SAPA that we do a similar, we didn't tell them what percentages Riverside and San Bernardino should be assigned, but we requested a 38% for Orange County based on our calculations of land area and population. So where we are currently is we're waiting for a response from the OWOW Steering Committee. Mike and I have gone and had meetings with the Orange County representatives on the steering committee. We've met with Supervisor Nelson, and we've met with Jose Solario from the City of Santa Ana. I have met with Gary Brown from Orange County Coastkeeper. We've been in contact with Linda Ackerman, who is on the Santa Ana Regional Water Quality Control Board and sits on the steering committee, to give them background on what our requests are and what our reasonings are for making this request. We have kept open the option if SAPA does not agree to work with us on this request, that we can pull out of the SAPA OWOW process and request DWR recognize our IRWM plan and ask for recognition as a separate funding region within the Santa Ana region. So similarly to how the San Diego funding region operates, there would be multiple IRWM plans within the Santa Ana funding area. If we could come to an agreement with SAPA, and we believe that DWR would probably ask us to at least try to come to a funding split agreement with SAPA, if we were unable to do that, in essence, if our regional funding request was approved, we would then compete with SAPA for grant funds. And what would happen is we would evaluate projects through our plan. We would come up with a slate of projects. We would present those projects to DWR. DWR would analyze those two slates of projects and decide which projects to fund in our funding region. We're quite confident that we would compete very well. We've looked at how SOPA's project slates have scored compared to the South Orange County slates that have been put forth in previous rounds of funding, and our South Orange County slates of projects have fared better. They've scored higher than the OWOW projects. We have experience in running our own funding region, so I think we would compete well against SOPA if that's where we chose to go. But we would like to continue the dialogue with OWOW and with SOPA to see if we can get our planning and our efforts recognized in a different manner than we've been operating so far.
Any questions?
Does this require board action?
Yes.
Thanks. I've been asking you for quite a while, and I'm very impressed with everything you've done.
Thank you.
And our staff has done also.
Does this require any board action?
Yes.
This morning? Yes.
We are asking for, there's a staff recommendation, which is to direct staff to work with the OWOW Steering Committee and other Orange County agencies and stakeholders to have the IRWM plan for North and Central Orange County incorporated into the OWOW plan, update 2018 as described in our letter of July 13, 2018. And secondly, in the event that such an agreement is not reached, to request the County of Orange apply to the Department of Water Resources to become a separate IRWM region within the Santa Ana funding area.
Is the staff recommendation broad enough in its mandate, in your opinion?
I believe so.
So moved.
Second it. Okay. Now, I do have one question. When is next round of funding?
Oh, that's a sliding date, since it's DWR is in charge of that. We are anticipating that the grant guidelines will come out towards the end of this calendar year, and that the funding rounds will be in early to mid 2019. However, as soon as we push up against one of those deadlines, it tends to slip a little bit further. But I would say roughly we're looking at 2019.
If we would need to go to DWR, would we have that process completed before the grant applications come out?
We are working with DWR. We're moving on parallel tracks.
I like
so.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Yes.
Director DeWayne?
Aye.
Director Sheldon?
Big yes.
Director Wynn? Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Moving on to the groundwater basin storage operational strategy review.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Roy Herndon will be giving this presentation to the committee this morning. Mr. Herndon.
Thank you, Mr. Marcus. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We have essentially completed our evaluation of basin storage in light of some original proposals that came up actually about a year ago. A little background, last August, the board had broadened its policy to consider potential storage and exchange programs by South County water agencies, and that generated some interest by both board members as well as groundwater producers, that we look at our overall water storage program in the basin before we move forward with particular potential storage agreements with any South County agencies. And so that's really what staff's been doing over the last several months, is to look at our overall policies and framework for basin storage and our operating strategy as a background before storage agreements might be considered. So we did come back to this committee back, I think, in March or April and presented some scenarios, which I'll run through again just to refresh everybody's memory. And then we have some recommendations for some relatively minor modifications in our operating strategy that I'll run through. So the key questions that we wanted to answer was whether or not we, how much storage do we need for a drought, given that we had just gotten through a very severe drought, but looking forward, is our operating strategy still sound? And then is there any storage space remaining for other programs, whether it be for within agencies within OCWD or potentially outside agencies? So just here's our current basin management policy framework that we have, with 500,000 acre feet being our lowest point. That's total overdraft from a full condition that we do not want to exceed. We want to stay within the 500,000 storage volume within the basin. But starting from the top, if we are in within 100,000 acre feet of being full, that's a very full basin. We haven't been there since I've been at the Water District, but back in the 1983 time frame, we were approximately in that range. If we were to be in that such an amazing position, we would be likely recommending increasing the basin pumping percentage to try to bring storage down to build more space for potential storm flows to capture, not to mention potential shallow groundwater issues that might arise when the basin is that full. And we would likely stop or reduce purchasing of imported water. So the goal would be to try to bring storage down into this green area. The green area is our target range where we would like to be at between 100 and 150,000 acre feet. If we're in this region, we would recommend maintaining the BPP at its current policy goal of 75%, and that we would continue to purchase 65,000 acre feet or so of imported water, essentially to stay within the range. So our water budget for the coming year would be to try to maintain zero change and stay within that green area. Then, as we say, enter drought situations where the basin overdraft begins to increase, which it often does. This basin goes through cycles, of course. If we're down in the 150,000 to 300,000 range of overdraft, again, we would propose no change in the basin pumping percentage. We would continue to purchase 65,000 acre feet of imported water, and under normal hydrology, under average rainfall conditions, we would expect to gradually increase or reduce the overdraft to get back up to this target range. So that would be our normal, and this is where we're typically where the basin is operated, kind of in this 150 to 300,000 range. If we drop below 300,000 acre feet, then we would recommend buying additional imported water beyond the 65,000 acre feet, assuming it's available, and or reduce the basin pumping percentage. Either of those or both of those are parameters that we could adjust, again, with the goal of reducing it, overdraft to get back to this green target area. Getting further down, if we're continuing into a drought situation, for example, and we get below 350,000 acre feet, then we would look at both purchasing additional imported water and reducing the basin pumping percentage. So potentially doing both of those, again, to more aggressively try to get us back on track to get back up to this target area. And it's important to note that currently we have the Met Conjunctive Use Program, which can store up to 66,000 acre feet in the basin. That storage program is set to expire in 2028, so it's got another 10 years to go. And there's currently essentially no water in storage right now in that program in the basin. They have currently, Met has taken all the water out of that account, but they could at some point in the future start to put water back in. And then there's the SARCUP program, and that program is a future program that may kick in potentially, I think, in 2019, I think, is when that might take effect. And we, OCWD, can gradually increase storage if water, state water project is available up to 36,000 acre feet. And this would be extraordinary storage that the producers or others could use to basically get through a drought situation. So that is a future program that could offer a lot of drought resiliency. So that's our current framework. So looking back at the drought that we got through a few years ago, this is a five-year drought, and it was the driest or second driest in Southern California since, according to a study by Department of Water Resources, since the 1400s, according to Tree Ring Research, they think it was one of the worst drought situations for 5 years since for hundreds of years, basically. So it's hard to imagine, but we just went through it. And so our rainfall was about 55% of average, so very low, about half of normal rainfall for 5 years. And so that certainly affects our storm flows, and it affects our natural incidental recharge. Both of those are directly related to rainfall. And on the fifth year, met deliveries were reduced. So we got through the first 4 years being able to buy our normal 65,000 acre feet, but in the fifth year, met had to curtail some of our supplies by, I think, about 20,000 acre feet. But also what happened in the fifth year is the governor required roughly a 25% conservation by the water producers and the water users, so that actually reduced pumping. So that had a reverse effect, so we could bought less imported water, but then again, demands were lower in that fifth year. But what was really, I guess, pretty helpful or good news is that despite such a severe drought, we lost about 161,000 acre feet of storage. 16,000 of it was water withdrawn from the cup account. So had that cup water not been drawn out, we would have only dropped about 145,000 acre feet from as far as storage goes. So we weathered the drought very nicely in retrospect. And this is just a historical graph showing back to the 1970s how the basin goes through various filling and emptying cycles based on drought and hydrology. And so here we are recovering after the drought. We had that very aggressive in-lieu program, and so the basin is beginning to recover. So yes, we made it through the drought, 160,000 acre feet of reduction. Question is, looking forward, if we were to repeat that same drought today, those very severe conditions, how would the basin do? Well, during that period of time, 2012 to 2016, demands were actually higher than they are today. And it wasn't that long ago, but people have reduced their usage of water a fair degree, and also GWRS initial expansion came online during that period of time in 2015. So we thought we should run some scenarios that adjusted demands and supplies to current conditions. So we could say, what if that drought were to happen today? Looking forward, how would the basin do? So I presented these scenarios a few months ago. I'll run through them again very quickly. So we have three main drought scenarios that we ran. And so the second scenario is is the worst case, essentially that in the fifth year, fourth and fifth year, met deliveries were cut as they were in just the fifth year during the drought, actually, but we're going to assume it's the fourth and the fifth year, and we're assuming in the second scenario here that there is no reduction in water demands in the fifth year. So basically the basin really takes a hit in scenario two. Under scenario three, met delivery would have the met issues, but we have the same as scenario two, but in year six and seven, we would have continued met reductions in our imported supply. So we basically just ran it out for two more years. So we have the base case, if you didn't have a drought and you started overdraft, where we currently estimate we are today at 287,000 acre feet. That's where we estimate the basin overdraft is currently. And if we were to begin the drought here now, well, let me step back. If we begin and we don't have a drought now, we would have a base case. We would buy met water as we normally would. We'd have the BPP at 75%. And we would project that we would gradually fill the basin under average hydrology, normal rainfall, and we would work our way back to our target optimal range up here. That's the base case. These other three scenarios are under a drought situation. And so the red line and the green line and the purple line are all together here until you start to deviate in this fourth year. So in scenario one, demands are reduced in the fifth year, and that helps the basin recover ever so much in that last fifth year. And then under the scenario two, which is the green, which is hidden behind this purple line here, we see that demands are not reduced and met supplies are reduced in that fifth year. And so we drop quite a bit, a maximum of 180,000 acre feet from the initial condition in the beginning of the drought. That's pretty close, just a little worse than what we actually did, 160,000 acre feet during the drought, but still within our operating range. So even if we started the drought today at 287, we would end up above our 500,000 acre foot floor. So that still means we could get through there and not exceed our bottom threshold. And then for the next 2 years, even if met supplies were reduced, we would basically hold steady under our current policy. If we have average hydrology for those last 2 years and we can buy our met water as we normally would, we would begin to recover. Just like we have the slope up here, we would begin to recover. So anyway, so those are the three scenarios. I should stop here and offer if there are any questions. Yeah.
Does this projection include the planned GWRS expansion numbers? Are they included?
These are just before GWRS expansion looks forward. So that's another scenario.
So yeah. I think to follow up, Director Whitaker, and we're looking at the final expansion coming online in 2023.
Right.
So that's probably why the purple line kind of flattens out, the other ones start going up. That, and as Roy explained, in the red and green scenarios, we're able to purchase met water again on top of the final expansion.
Exactly. Demands are key. Really, how water demands are going forward really affect the scenarios here for sure. But the takeaway here is that even if we had the drought again right now, we would get through it. We project even under that scenario and stay within our current operating range within 500,000 acre feet. So our findings are that lower demands over the last 10 years have reduced impacts of future droughts, and so as I mentioned, that has a key effect on our projections and capability of getting through droughts. GWRS with the initial expansion, that has largely offset the base flow reductions that we've seen over the last 10 years. Even though base flows have gone down, GWRS has made up the difference, so that also helps us get through droughts. And looking forward to the final expansion in 2023, that also is going to add another 30,000 acre feet a year to the basin, our basin supplies, which will really help our drought resiliency. And then overall, our base supplies, GWRS, putting out in the future 130,000 acre feet a year, and our conservative approach to setting the BPP and purchasing imported water when available, that really sets us up to get through foreseeable droughts as we see them today. So as far as proposed modifications in the policy, based on what we've seen in our projections, we think we could get through reasonably with some slight reductions in our target range here of, instead of 100,000 to 150,000, which is an awfully full condition or near full condition. I mean, full is, of course, zero, but when we've been up close to 200,000 acre feet, we do start to see very high water levels along the coast. It does reduce our ability to inject water at the barrier, requiring us to send more GWRS water up to the forebay. And so we think the basin can reasonably sustain, in fact, do fine with a target range reduction of 50,000 acre feet. So we're recommending that we go from 100,000 $100,000 to $150,000 here reduction in this target range, basically a $50,000 overall. Interestingly, for the first, 10 years or so, or when I was here during the period of time that Bill Mills was the general manager, 200,000 acre feet was always the target. So it was really, this is we're basically going back to where we were back then. It's not a big change, 50,000 acre feet. And these other numbers, these other lower target thresholds would also, we're recommending reducing those by 50,000. But no change in the 500,000 acre feet number. We think that still is a good threshold that we should stay above for seawater intrusion reasons, land subsidence, as well as well production performance issues. So our recommendations are to direct staff to go back to our 2007 report and make those changes in that report and then bring it back to the board for final consideration and approval. Essentially, it's Chapter 6 in that report is where this is described. So the first five chapters of the report talk about how we calculate change in storage, and we're comfortable with that methodology. We're not recommending any changes to that part of the report. Just this part of the report, which is chapter 6. And then, as far as future storage agreements, we're recommending at this time that they be limited to the 36,000 acre foot SAR cut program, or within that volume, and at least until the Met cut program expires in 2028. So those are our recommendations. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks very much, Roy. Yes.
Comment.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Paul Schoenberger, General Manager at Mesa Water District. I love this subject, storage and basin operations and optimizing things. That's what Orange County Water District does a really, really good job of. The board and the staff basically doubled the output of the basin in the last 20, 30 years. So you've done a fantastic job, and now we're looking at trying to extract even more value out of the basin. So that's all fantastic. So we're talking about storage and storage programs and how to best utilize those, and that's a good thing. I think there's some successes in the future there for us. There is another project that's being put forth regionally. MODOC had a board memo recently on a project to bring water in from Strand Ranch. And I don't see these really conflicting with each other. The Strand Ranch project is really doable in a very limited set of circumstances, and it's economic and even a smaller set of circumstances. It's really doable when Met is in an allocation and extraordinary water can be brought in, and then with the price that MODOC quoted in their board memo, between $1,700 an acre foot and $1,900 an acre foot. It's economic only if the MODOC region is going to go over their Met allocation, which has never happened in the past. So it's and then the dollar cost is almost double the Met regular cost and about triple of the Met untreated cost. So that project has got very narrow amount of time in which it would be used. What we're talking about here are bigger storage projects and ones that potentially could be used in any year. So I don't see a lot of conflict in those. As far as this, the recommendations here, the first recommendation was thoroughly vetted with the producers, and we appreciate the time your staff spent with us with that. And I think generally there is support from the producers on first recommendation. You know, as long as we're targeting getting up to that 200, you know, if our entire operation goes down 50,000 acre feet, then we might have some pumping issues and some wells, but I don't believe that's the intent. I think the intent is to always try to drive it up to that $200,000 level. The second recommendation hasn't been fully vetted with the producers, and I don't know that the producers would have a problem with that. As long as the direction that this committee gave staff at the last WIC still stands, and you know, that was to address the producers' concerns. We had basically put out a four-step process of, you know, looking at the basin levels, basically what had came up to number one, your recommendation number one. What else can we do to optimize the basin? Looking at internal programs and looking at external programs. So as long as that's not being superseded by number two, I don't think that it is. You know, to put some sort of limit on future agreements, I don't think that would be a problem. So those are my thoughts, and you know, thanks for the continuing look at our basin and how we can improve it.
Thank you. Paul Whitehorse, Irvine Ranch Water District. Kind of echo some of the statements that Paul was making related to the Strand Ranch program. It has the opportunity to provide some benefits under certain circumstances, just like I think the SARCA project has the opportunity to provide some benefits, and I think they could substantially be complementary to each other. One comment I have, it's actually a question, you know, with the a potential change in the operating strategy or policy associated with the basin, there could be situations where producer wells could be affected, reducing the ability to get water out of the ground. So it's something that hasn't been looked at. We believe that it's something that it's a potential, and I guess the question would it be appropriate to also consider putting together a CEQA document that would engage with the producers and others to ensure that those types of impacts are
Yeah, I don't know that we're making significant changes that would necessarily affect the producers. In fact, if you go to the overgraph graph, yep. Roy, I think this was actually brought up by Director Sheldon at a meeting when we were looking at this overdraft. The overdraft.
Oh, the historical?
Historical overdraft.
Got it.
If you take a look at the
Sorry.
Take a look at the historical overdraft.
Had the num lock on. That always gets me. There we go. All right.
Okay, that one. It's pointed out, really, over the last 30 years, we've been operating kind of in the range that we're suggesting through the study. So we're not necessarily doing anything different. And as Roy pointed out, the target elevation used to be 200,000 acre feet. So we just thought making some sort of a minor adjustment to kind of reflect where we've actually been operating the basin was appropriate. I think also the thing that's changed, of course, over the last 30 years is we have a lot more reliable water sources. With 103,000 acre feet of recycled water now, looking forward into the future at 131,000 acre feet a year, with our adjudicated right on the Santa Ana River, with Met Water being available most of the time for us to purchase, we are actually in fairly good shape from a reliability point of view. And I think that supports the recommendation that the staff is making right now with the change in policy. And as far as the SARCUP is concerned, the board still has to take final action on that. We've been going along with our partners in the upper watershed, and we should be bringing that to the committee and the board probably a little bit later this year. We're waiting for IUA to complete the CEQA. They're the lead CEQA on SARCUP. And as soon as that is completed, we'll be bringing that to the board. We see SARCUP as being an effective tool also. We have had discussions with the producers and will continue to have discussions with the producers. The one thing that remains somewhat unresolved on SARCUP is just how much of the 36,000 acre feet we would want as extraordinary supply. We're thinking internally we don't need the entire 36,000 acre feet to be extraordinary supply. The one thing when you designate water as extraordinary, you can't touch it until an allocation. So it takes away a certain amount of flexibility. So we'll have to study exactly what or how much of that water we would want as extraordinary supply.
Any other comments? Okay.
Okay. Given that Strand Ranch has now become a topic of conversation, I had a couple questions. So currently we pay MODOC, I think, $300,000 a year for an in-lieu meter charge or something to that effect, right?
Well,
I don't know how to phrase it. What
yeah, it's actually, they would say, I think it's a volumetric charge.
Volumetric charge.
On the amount of water that we purchase.
Connection.
Correct.
To MODOC.
Correct.
So it's in lieu of the meter charge, which all the retail agencies are required to pay, right?
That is correct.
So in this instance, we're, with the proposal before MODOC, we're being now asked to support the concept of this imported water idea from Strand Ranch, which has economic consequences as well. It's too much to discuss here today. However, I would like to agendize for the Finance Committee's consideration the purpose, meaning, and understanding of the $300,000 that we pay to MODOC, what it's for, and whether or not it comports with Proposition 218. In addition to that, the Strand Ranch project itself has been clouded in, you know, rumor and innuendo for a long time of what its meaning and purpose is. Irvine Ranch Water District is now operating as groundwater basin manager, a water recycler, a wastewater agency, and a retail water agency simultaneously, and now asking to be an import water agency into the Orange County Water District service area. So given that, we have a fiduciary responsibility to the constituents we serve. So what I'd like to see at that same committee meeting is the audited financial statements associated with the Strand Ranch project, such that we could calculate and have enough information to calculate the actual cost per acre foot per year. I've reviewed those financial statements myself, and I have certain questions. Given that, the project, the GWRS final expansion coming online, given the static assumptions associated with water demands in the area, my recollection is in order to pay the capital back, we will need to raise the basin pumping percentage to something like 80%. Am I about on track there? So someplace in this conversation, in this document, I think it would be worthy to include at least as an aspirational policy goal that given the current situation, we have a 75% basin pumping percentage. However, with the construction of that new facility, that we look forward to or somehow aspire to raising the basin pumping percentage to 80% given the current set of assumptions. So I just think we should include that.
Can I correct you right there?
Sure.
When we passed the BPP, we passed it at 77%.
It's currently at 77.
Yeah, we keep saying 75, but
it's memorable.
I guess we could say the board policy is to maintain a 75%.
Yes.
But we keep.
Way out.
I'm just saying that
77.
We're really starting
to perfect. Move
us.
But my point is that somehow we got to sell enough water to pay back the capital on the plant behind us, and I'm chairing the finance committee, so a little more, you know, acutely aware of that, you know, operational constriction.
We can mention that in the report. We can mention looking forward to when GWRS final expansion comes online. That will certainly have a likely effect on the BPP.
Great. And then in the staff report on page 1, 2, 3, 4, Under the potential storage agreement, there are items 1 through 4 identified from the past WIC committee where it says evaluate the current and future operating parameters of the basin. So that is the report contained here and today, and you guys have done a great job of reviewing that. And I think that this is a very, very important matter for consideration and worthy of the board's attention by far, as it touches all policy matters within the district. So then there are 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so my question would be, are we still working on 2, 3, 4, and 5? And, you know, would we look forward to at some point to coming back with answers or some kind of response to those considerations? It says, you know, identify. So the other requests previously made were identify potential measures to optimize the storage of the water in the basin for the benefit of the producers. Number 3, consider if and how storage accounts could be implemented for producer agencies. Number 4, consider if how the potential storage accounts could be implemented for non-producer agencies to the primary benefit of the producer agency. So
we'll be coming back.
Perfect. And I would like to just add one thing to that, add 2 things to that, either as a number 5 or as a subset of those things previously considered, and that would be that in this analysis we include a hydraulic connection to South Orange County, other than the hydraulic connection currently existing through the Irvine Ranch Water District, see what things we can imagine and what might come forth. And then finally, to include an economic analysis of the value of storage that includes a comparative numbers associated with surface and groundwater storage projects already constructed or under consideration. There's a number of projects that have been built in South Orange County, including Chiquita Canyon, the recycled water project now at Lake Mission Viejo, and the El Toro project under consideration. Strand Ranch, of course, is in there. So there are there's a huge amount of money being spent of the ratepayer monies to build water supply and storage projects. And however, there is no comprehensive look at how all of those compare to each other. And I think being the groundwater agency for the county, we are the best source of information to make the evaluative comparison.
So would that study just consist with storage within Orange County?
Sure.
You mentioned Strand Ranch.
Okay.
Well, there's storage in the Central Valley. There's storage accounts all over the state of California.
How about within Orange County or supported financially by Orange County agencies? Because that would include Strand Ranch.
Okay. It's fairly narrow, but that's fine.
Yeah, I don't want to create so much work here. We can't get it done. But, there's a handful of projects, and, you know, there's huge amounts of money being spent on these things. And, you know, from a policy perspective, we should all be working together for all of the ratepayers of the county for the purposes of reliability and supply. And as I've said before, we can have policies of surplus or scarcity, and I'm an advocate for surplus.
Any other questions?
I'll move the recommendation.
Okay. Now, are you including?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have that motion?
I have it in writing, and I'll submit it to the district secretary.
Okay.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Yes.
Director Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Director Duane?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. We'll put all the matters that we've voted on consent calendar. Okay to have. Mm-hmm. Any directors' announcements or reports? General managers' announcements or reports?
I have nothing to report this morning.
We're adjourned.